Governor, congratulations on what appears to be a surging campaign.
Well, we'll see. You know, it's starting to, I think, be heard in the country, and it's kind of, it's nice. Nothing has changed since the day I started, and it's all been about economic security and a record of accomplishment and putting teams together that can solve the problems we have in America.
Well, and I know you have been trying to keep the campaign on as positive a level as possible, but talking about that, you have spoken, as we have on this show for many, many months, about the possibility of a contested convention, an open convention, where nobody gets a majority on the first ballot, and that looks more and more realistic. Can I address with you just for a moment a concern that I've heard explained about your campaign, which is that you come to Cleveland, which, by the way, is home ground for you,
right.
And you're in Cleveland, Ohio, where the convention is going to be held, and you have a bunch of delegates, but you end up trading them away, say, to Donald Trump for a vice presidential nomination.
Mm-hmm.
Would you ever do such a thing?
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't be vice president for anybody. Maybe for you, Michael, if you were the nominee.
Well, no, thank you. I take that as a high compliment, but
yes.
No risk of that.
No, I'm not. I am not. I have no interest. I'm in the governor of Ohio. I have the second best job in America. And look, I mean, let's just talk about this. I'm not really interested in trading. I ran for this because I think I've got the skills and the record, by the way, to be able to fix this country. So why would I want to get into that? That wouldn't be the thing for me. And we got a long way to go before we get to a convention. So let's just all of us kind of, and I've talked about it. I've said it, you know, it's likely we'll get there, but I think maybe I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Let's just take things a day at a time because crazy things happen in politics.
Boy, they have already this year.
You never know. Yeah, exactly. And that's why, you know, the convention, people are like, oh, my goodness, what would that mean? Well, I mean, I'll tell you what it would mean. I think our kids would start learning about how we pick a president. They might actually learn a little bit about the history of presidents. You know, it would kind of be a good thing. And in that process, I know there's a lot of people that say, well, this would be smoke-filled rooms. I don't think it would be smoke-filled rooms because they don't allow smoking in the hotels in Cleveland. So I don't think that'll be the case. But in all seriousness, you know, when you go to something like that, the delegates always get serious about who it is that would be the best president of the United States. And it would be important in something like that that we would come out of it with a sense of fairness. Now, I was there as a very young man when Ronald Reagan challenged Gerald Ford. And I was at that convention. I worked actually directly with Ronald Reagan. I covered 5 states for him, traveled with him. It was really a Forrest Gump moment for me because I was yanked out of total obscurity. And you know, we lost. Ford won. Ford went on to, you know, do the nation a great favor by pardoning Nixon, which probably cost him reelection. But we didn't leave that convention gnashing of teeth. It was fair and square, and it was exciting.
And one of the things that you've also participated in that was very exciting was actually giving America, believe it or not, a surplus for a couple of years.
Yep.
And you were chairman of the House Budget Committee. And what do we need to do? Because this is the big issue. It's the elephant in the room that people don't talk about enough. They talk about other issues that don't matter as much. The country's broke. We have a debt, a national debt that's approaching $20 trillion. What do we do to get that right?
Well, Michael, you take it one bite at a time. You know, it's like eating an elephant. And the way in which you get to balance and the way you start paying down debt is you have both economic growth along with government restraint. And I did do it in Washington. We had 4 years of a balanced budget. We paid down $500 billion of the national debt. And we also cut taxes. So you need economic growth coupled with common sense regulations and fiscal restraint, which means innovation. It means sending a lot of power out of Washington to states. That's what it really means. And I did it in Ohio, the same thing. You know, regulations that make sense, lower taxes. And we went from an $8 billion hole to a $2 billion surplus, and we're now growing 400,000 private sector jobs with wages going up faster than the national average. So, you know, we can deal with this. The problem with the budget, Michael, is when it's out of control, then business people say, hey, I'm not putting my money in there because I can't trust what's going to happen.
Well, that's exactly right. And talking about that lack of trust, one of the things that you hear from people, they see things like the debate that happened last week. I know you guys are debating again two nights from now. But they see that debate. They see this long campaign. People are kind of frustrated at the process by which we choose our nominees and by which we choose our presidents. Do you think that after this campaign is over, we ought to look at trying to fix the process?
Yeah, I really do think so, Michael. I mean, you know, I was telling somebody that I would rather engage in these town halls where people can ask you questions. When we only have four candidates left, let's give everybody a half an hour to answer questions, to show their depth. And, you know, and then let people decide. So somebody pointed out, well, you won't get any viewers. So you wonder, what are these debates? Why is it that people tune into them? And by the way, is it the same people who tune in every week? I mean, I don't know. It's sort of like Downton Abbey, you know? I mean, oh, honey, you know, Downton Abbey's over. Let's watch the debate. I mean, I don't know. But I don't think this is a great way to pick a president through sound bites and things like that. I also think, Michael, we need to take a look. And I don't know what we can do. I don't know what the constitutional issues are. But, you know, a handful of billionaires determining who's going to be president is not my cup of tea.
You're not a billionaire. You've had a very successful career in business. What do you think? Are you in favor? Because I don't know, Governor. Are you in favor of tighter restrictions on the way people can express themselves in terms of buying political?
I think I am, but I don't know what that all means. I mean, you can put limits on. What I'd rather see is small contributions really be the order of the day. But look, we have other fish to fry. I mean, if you really want to talk about an effort to pass some kind of constitutional amendment, we ought to pass one that requires Congress to do their job by having an amendment that requires a balanced budget.
Which, again, I know you've supported in the past, and virtually all the Republican candidates do. Today, people are voting in Michigan, and John Kasich looks like the best bet to upset Donald Trump in that state. In the minute remaining to us, Governor, why should people who are thinking about voting for Mr. Trump vote for you instead?
Well, I grew up in a neighborhood where I understand people's anxieties, Michael. I mean, the fact that they might lose their job, their wages are not going up, they're not getting any interest with their money in the bank, their kids are living in the basement after getting a college degree. I understand all that, but I have a record of being able to address it specifically and be able to bring greater economic security, the creation of jobs, more power shifted out to where we live and leaving nobody behind. And so I think that the record matters in an era where politicians lack credibility. And anybody running for office, of course, is a politician.
By definition, John Kasich, we will put your website on our website so people can find out more about your candidacy. Because the fight goes on today in Michigan, and everybody listening to us in any of our affiliates in Michigan should by all means go out and vote, participate in either primary, but particularly in that crucial Republican primary, which can make a real difference. And that's true for people in Mississippi and Idaho and Hawaii today, and then next week, particularly folks in North Carolina and in Florida and in the Buckeye State, the state of Ohio, where I expect Governor Kasich will win a smashing victory.